Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Cindy Lewis. I'm with AdvisorCon, co-presenter.
And I am Tad Haas with Microsoft and the product team in Redmond.
You got the clicker.
I do have the clicker. And of course, as soon as we check
our topic is ROI, accelerating your time to value with Project Online. We're going to have some good interaction here.
All right, the clicker guy left.
That's clicker awesome. Died. Well, you know, there's a back. Where's plan B? Aha, okay, so the first thing we're going to do is start with something fun. We're going to play fact or crap. Now, we're going to do a practice question. Speakers are wearing green shirts, and you guys yell either fact or crap. Fact, okay. Here's your next question, now that we're getting warmed up here. Is Office 365 one of the fastest growing businesses at Microsoft? All right, you're doing good. Number two, all right, you must have a Windows PC to access project management data in Project Online. Cool, they're doing great.
Spot on.
You can get free tools from Microsoft and others to access cloud readiness and projected ROI validated by the Cloud Security Alliance. Fact. Yeah. And the last one, if Jell-O is hooked up to an EEG, it registers movements virtually identical to the brain waves of a healthy adult.
Fact.
That is right. All right. Well, that's a great.
Are you saying we have Jell-O for brains?
No, not at all.
Not yet,
yeah. All right. Well, that was a great start. So this is kind of our agenda today, just a kind of a quick overview. We're going to be showing you, talking about some different industry examples for ROI, some actual customer cases, some things that they've gone through. We're going to be showing you not only just Microsoft evidence, but third-party evidence. And there will be some takeaways and some audience participation. Excited you're here? All right. Woohoo! So let's get started with the independent evidence. I don't know if you've heard of a company called Nucleus Research. All they do is research. They're not affiliated with Microsoft. And this is what they came up with. And we're going to dive into how they got this number. 1.7 times more ROI in a cloud application. Okay, clicker. There we go. So let me give you just a brief high-level overview of this company, Nucleus Research. Been around for a while, as you can see. They look at the financial value of technology. They have 450 out there case studies. Feel free to go out and look. There's lots of free data. And they do return on investment on actual deployments. So if it was an idea in someone's head, that doesn't count. It has to be an actual deployment. Some of the things you're seeing are examples of the tools. We're actually going to give you a link at the end how to get to some of these tools. But this is just general about the company. What they also have done that we really care about is the on-premise versus on-demand. That's the evaluation they did to come up with that 1.7 multiplier. It consists of 70 deployments. Now, I was kind of curious what kind of deployments. It had to be an enterprise system, like a CRM, HR system, something that's enterprise, global collaboration system. And the other thing that they did is they didn't just say, okay, let's look at the first month it was deployed. They said, let's go ahead and evaluate long-term, 3 years. That was the average that they looked at. And they looked at a huge range of budgets, as you'll see, 30,000 all the way up to 9.5 million. And you'll see over here an example of their rapid total cost of ownership comparison tool that you can actually download and get yourself. Now, in addition to that 1.7, they came up with multiplier factors. So people were kind of asking, what actually gave you the returns? And everybody said, well, it's the top one, which is kind of what we expected, right? What do you guys think? That's kind of the one that most of us expect. Crap. Right-hand side looks pretty good. You know, there is time that it takes you to invest in updating your servers, obviously patching, backups, redundancy systems, but that wasn't the only way companies were getting returns. There were other areas. For example, on the right, the IT people were not spending their time maintaining systems. You probably realize you have smart people in IT. Shouldn't they be helping drive your business to be more successful, or should they be spending time running a security patch and updating? So that was a huge return. Also, on the left-hand side, it was kind of the startup time. If you have to install SQL and SharePoint and, you know, make sure everything is up to date, it takes a lot of time to get up and going. But if you're working with a cloud application, that's completely gone. And then one that I really like to see was the benefits increase. If you're in a cloud application, the new features are getting deployed automatically, and you're not necessarily having to spend a whole lot of money. I have a customer right now. These guys are more of a development type firm. They do a lot of Microsoft product add-ins. And what they're doing is they have Project Server 2010, and unfortunately in their own firm, rather than going to Project Online, they said, we don't really want to update SharePoint right now. So they are spending, I think they estimated $35,000 to put in features that are in Project Online back in 2010. To me, that was a waste of money, but that's what they decided to do. They didn't want to drive forward to be online. Okay, now considerations. Let's say you guys are evaluating going online. These are some that we kind of came up with. And I want to give you a little story that might help you think about getting returns. So there was an actor a long time ago that wasn't successful yet. He came up with a career before he became famous. His career was a professional drowner. What he would do is there would be a beach, and he would go out and pretend he was drowning, and the people, you know, the lifeguards would come out and rescue him. But meanwhile, there would be a whole bunch of people on the beach watching what's going on, watching the activity. And behind the scenes, the vendors would come in and sell food and drinks and so on. He got his returns because of those vendors. They were giving him a kickback every time he was a professional drowner. So I want you to kind of think of a lot of considerations, how to get those returns. Here's a couple to take a look at. Tad, did you want to jump in on one of these?
How many of you are in IT, right? And did Cindy's point about letting you do higher value work resonate? There's two parts about the IT part. That's the first, right? How do I get IT doing innovative, you know, interesting, meaningful work, not just patching servers and everything else? But then there's a flip side of it, too. Sometimes we're in IT and we struggle with IT, right? That box on the far right-hand side says you don't have to deal with the system admin. You don't have to deal with the IT burden of getting things through a system. Online means that you can slide it in quickly, and not to paraphrase, but of course it's like put your credit card down here and move forward. You don't have to go through that. So that's a way to look at IT, both from a cost point of view, a hassle point of view, and an opportunity point of view, right? So those are the things that I would really drive home here, because we're all working with IT at some level, or we're in IT trying to add value in that side as well.
So we need some audience participation. Are you guys excited? You feel free to step up to the mic. We've got two mics over there. We want to hear, what do you consider when evaluating the return of investment of online applications? So I need a volunteer. Do we need to call on someone? So just tell me what your thoughts are.
If you were to bring a system like Project Server into your organization, we know your companies have done this. What did you have to consider? What did you have to prove? Who did you have to convince, and how did you do it? Net present value? Internal rate of return? We wish people would use NPV. Absolutely. IRR is short-sighted planning. NPV. I was going to make a joke earlier, a little bit later, that we were going to spend the next half an hour going through IRR and net present value calculations. But I figured that's probably a bad thing to do on Wednesday morning after a big after a big party. Mm-hmm. Yep. So for those of you that have done this, did you have to put together a spreadsheet for somebody, right? You had to prove the cost, the value, right? Did you go through and ask the organization questions, or did you just do one of these? Come on, somebody, one of these? So, yeah, there you go. Right? Sometimes it's a very short cycle. Sometimes it's a very long cycle. How you approach it makes a big difference, right? Particularly depending upon who your audience is. If you're trying to convince a true C-level executive, if you walk in there and say, I think this is a cool idea, we should do this, it's neat technology, what happens? Not much? Okay, exactly. So it's important for us to think about those things. What else? What would you do when you were going to do this? Gary, what happens? What do people talk about when they consider putting in solutions, whether online or on-premise?
Mm-hmm. And not the numbers.
Okay.
Right now, a lot of people are very resistant to the cloud. And the first thing they say is the security of my data, which I laugh at.
Security and data are issues. Certainly, those are very, very big considerations. I agree. What else?
Support model.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, good.
One more? What about the cost? Does the cost matter? Absolutely. With the energy costs, certainly at Microsoft, one of the ways that we look at where do we put data centers, we do ROIs on these things, is, you know, we put them by big rivers or a place where there's lots of electricity, right? That's a cost factor that you have to take into account. You know, if you're running something, just Project Server on a box or looking at it online, you might not have to go to that level of concern, but those are the kind of things that you want to think about.
I have one customer that is actually here right in this session, one of these sessions, and they have an office manufacturing type company, and they said that being online and available access to data all the time is really important, because if you can't run your projects and see what's going on, your project isn't running. Mm-hmm. That's really important to them. Mm-hmm. But thanks.
Cool.
Okay, accelerating ROI. So I want to tell you a couple different stories, and this first one is a customer that I've been working with. Their business is road repair. They also have a proprietary cement manufacturing business. Their biggest customer is the entire state, and their goal was to get up and running as fast as possible. Project online solved that. A day or less, everything was great. Now, here's what I said to them. I said, you know, tell me a little bit about your business. What are your successes? They said what they want to do is they said, let's go as fast as possible online. We know all the answers. Of course, this is what they said. And we really feel we have everything under control that we can answer questions as you're configuring along the way. So what do you think? Do you think that worked as well as they had hoped? Fact or crap? It depends. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
exactly. So the person I was working with, the first thing I asked about is, okay, you know, what kind of, do you have Project Standard? Do you have Project Pro? He said, we have Project Pro. Get on site. They have Project Standard. Another thing I said, did you want AD Sync? Absolutely. Get on site. The guy did not even know their IT staff was outsourced. They didn't even have an IT person on site. Another thing they said, we're going to put in our business processes that we're really good at into the system. So I said, give me your business processes. He gave me an Excel spreadsheet. I said, so how do you run your business? They said, well, our business depends on projects. The faster we deliver a project, the more money we make. They had no documentation of their process. Every project manager I interviewed there had a whole different way of doing it. So they met their need for project online up and running, but their business processes weren't well defined, so they didn't get the instant returns that they had hoped for. What they did and where they're at kind of right now is they had to take a step back and said, we better figure out what we can do to run our business successfully before we try to use a tool to help us. Now, something that you're going to get as a takeaway are some questions to kind of ask to help drive your returns a little bit faster. And this is kind of a summary of those areas. Let me touch on several of those. Project management maturity. Where are you at with that? Do you have defined processes, best practices, repeatable business items that you're successful at? Something else that I always tell a company when I look at their business process, I said, you've been in business for a few years, right? Say fact. fact. We've been in business for a couple years. You obviously are successful at something, or you wouldn't still be in business. How do we duplicate those successes in Project Online? And I also ask, is your goal with Project Online to try to improve any of those along the way, or do we just need to duplicate what's already successful? Knowing those answers really helps. The security option, besides Active Directory, there's something called Microsoft Federated Security. I have a customer that's got two levels of login. And I was, ironically enough, talking to someone in one of the labs today, and they said, we want a vendor to be able to log into our system, but we don't want to give them access to all our other data. That person wasn't aware that Active Directory allowed them to set up a private security group for those vendors. Let me jump over to task updates and timesheets. So many of you are probably associated with a Project Management Institute chapter. I am with one as well. And they said companies that want to go online or that want to implement updates and timesheets have a real struggle. So they actually formed a panel discussion with all the major businesses in my local area. They used Spectrum Health, which is a conglomeration of hospitals. They used Amway's international headquarters. They used Steelcase, some other major players. And they said, how are you successful at getting people to provide updates or to fill out timesheets? What they did is they did a small project, got some success with that, and pretty much it was the rumor mill that got everyone to implement this. So kind of asking the questions, what is it that you are doing now, what do you want them to do, and how are you going to get there? Resource management. Does anybody care about resource management? Be nice to know what you're going to use Project Online for. Some of you were in my session on Monday. We talked about, do you want operational work in the system, yes or no? What is your goal? What is the number one thing you need out of this? That's helpful to have that question answered. Portfolio selection. Do you evaluate your business and every project you do against strategic measures? Is this project designed to help you make money? I've got one company right now. Their whole entire business is projects. They're basically an architecture firm. They also have a design build division. Their whole company runs based on every project they deliver. But they have projects that they've selected in their portfolio that help with their reputation. They have found out their reputation drives future business. That's one of the things they're doing. Proof of concept. I love proof of concept. And you're going to hear a few stories a little bit later on. In Project Online, you can have a proof of concept up tomorrow. Might as well give it a try. And what that will do is help show you. Customers are telling me every time they do a proof of concept, they can answer the question, why? Why did we make that decision? They've experienced it. And that's what I like. So again, feel free to get access to the takeaway, download some of these questions. Yes, go ahead. That's a good point.
I'm not arguing with it online. Except for that one point, this is my question. Yeah. Actually, a couple of those are really very unique, but very strong drivers for online like security.
Security, options. Yeah.
Right. The proof of concept deployment, absolutely. The rest of it, you're right.
It's our premise that in order to sell in your companies the notion of going online, you first have to get buy-in to the whole PPM, EPM notion, right? Mm-hmm. But they go hand in glove. And it's important to go through and think about that in both ways. Mm-hmm. It is, because organizations today take baby steps. Even inside our own company at Microsoft, we have great centers of excellence that do terrific project and portfolio management. And then we have other people that run around with their hair on fire with spreadsheets and SharePoint task lists if they're lucky, right? So it goes both ways, and it's all part of that cultural change. You know, Gary, that's actually quite common. The Gary's comment was people are doing proof of concepts with Project Online and then deploying on-prem. And they tend to deploy on-prem for all the big corporate political blah, blah, blah reasons. Control, huge data centers, you know. We paid for somebody already, so we might as well. Sure, absolutely. And those are very common. That is true.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've had customers, even after their system was deployed, hang on to their online instance
right.
for future experimentation.
For those projects that you want to ramp up. Yep. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that, too, as we get towards the end. Cindy's done a good job of kicking things off and getting us to think about the idea and trying to wake you up with a little fact and crap early in the morning. Be careful. There could be some more of it throughout the morning. I get to talk about the fun stuff now because we're going to dive down into some of the numbers and talk about it. And I'll use this example about an automotive retailer that went through this ROI process. And the Microsoft people in the field work with companies like this and have these conversations regularly. And some of the output of what you're going to see in the next slides is the kind of conversations that they'll have with companies. And I'm going to show you an organization that found a high return on investment for going online, and I'll show you a company that it was more expensive to go online. Because depending upon how you look at it, it really does make a difference. Now, the announcement we made on Monday changes that a little bit, actually changes it quite a bit, but I'm going to give you the facts as they were when we put things together and then sort of think about the difference between $33 and $7. And you can do some of the mental gyrations. When we introduced Project Online last year in February, we were going through and looking at all the different ways that organizations felt they could benefit from this. And the slide here represents the notion of staying organized, delivering projects successfully, improve collaboration, and simplify IT, right? And those are the big buckets. Those are the big buckets where we're going to go through and think about that. And by doing this, we can frame the conversation. You can have a really big laundry list, and I think you guys just need more coffee because the truth is, when you go do this, you have a long list of things you consider. And net present value might be one of them, right? Cost of hardware, all those things are important. We'll talk about some of those today, but we'll frame them inside of this part of the conversation. Okay. So when you look at a TCO comparison, I'll just go cut right to the chase. For this particular customer, they went through and did a comparison over 6 years and found that they would get a 19% higher rate of return. It would be cheaper. They would get more benefit by going through and deploying Project Online. You can see how they look at Project Server, and they'll list out here the numbers for all the different areas for hardware, for the software, third-party licenses, the operational cost. We say there's no operational cost with online. That's not really true. Somebody's got to go through and spend some time making sure everything's connected, going in through to the admin panel, and keep everything up to snuff. So there is cost, and so these are how those are broken out, the deployment and migration cost. And these are substantial numbers. When you go through and look at the cost of $300,000 versus $244,000, you can see that there is a pretty direct cost. When they go through and look at the cost per user, you're looking at $757 versus $612 a user. All right. Sure. The reason that the number's not higher, the reason the benefit is not greater, is because these numbers were done with a $33 price point versus what the coming May 1st with a $7 price point. Right. The benefit goes up dramatically. And in fact, cost is always important, but I can tell you quite directly, and I'll use an example in a moment, where cost is the least important. Well, not the least important. It is less important if you're truly talking to someone at sea level and you have all these value proof points and you can bring numbers to the table. If it's a cost wash or maybe the metrics are different and it's 19% the other way, if all the rest of the benefits are high enough and the emotional attachment to something online versus the drudgery of putting a server in place is better, people will make those decisions. But they need to have fact-based decisions in order to justify that decision. And you can see how they're broken out here, both in terms of online and with server. And you will have access to these slides, so these are things that you can go through and consider. When we drill down a little bit deeper, you'll start to look at the cost on the left-hand side as the Project Server in the green and Project Online in the blue. If you look to the chart on the far right in the six-year period, can anyone guess what these two spikes are? Upgrades? License renewals. Yeah. Our corporate customers buy traditionally on a three-year enterprise agreement, And they will go through and have to upgrade and rebuy those licenses or continue the licensing of that. So they'll have that cost. Now you'll also have inside there, and whether it's 3 years, 5 years, or more, you'll have a hardware upgrade cost as you go through and put these things in place. Correct. Right. That's exactly correct. Gary made a point here that for the project server, year two and year three, those are software assurance licenses, which keeps all of that current and moving forward. So you can see that by thinking about this from a numeric point of view, we can see, you know, just throw the picture out there, right? That's pretty obvious. Wow, I got to spend that much. In many corporate environments, you have the whole notion of cap and expense, right? I've got capital dollars and I've got expense dollars. Capital dollars are the hard ones to get, right? I see people shaking their heads and nodding. It's true at Microsoft as well. If there's a relatively small expense that is just sort of an ongoing thing that's sort of below the umbrella, if you will, sweet. You know, just slide. Sure, exactly. But having to go through and justify CapEx, capital expense all the time is a real pain. Correct. It is. And Gary raises a point, which we'll talk a little bit about here, but you know, I've been in the project management business for a while and with Microsoft for almost 9 years. And when you talk about Project Server, you talk about, historically, the Windows Server. You talk about the SQL Server. You talk about the SharePoint Server. You talk about the Project Server. You talk about the Project Client, right? This is a stack of technology that has to be put in place, let alone all the other security software you have to add on top of it and everything else. So there is complexity. These numbers are obviously summarized to go through and prove the point. But in this case, this customer went through and found that over 6 years, it's $350,000 less to go online. Okay.
They didn't already have a big SharePoint.
Actually, they did. This customer did have SharePoint in place.
Yeah.
Sure. Again, depending upon how you're looking at it, but if you've got all that ongoing cost, and maybe if I'm doing an evaluation and I'm in a corporation, if I can think, gee, I can do this with online for project, maybe that's a leading indicator or the tip of the spear for doing the same with Office 365 and SharePoint online. In some of your organizations, how many of you run Office 365 today? Proud show of hands. Okay, so at least half of you, probably more. This is a way, you know, Office 365 is, of course, in that case, a leader for Project Online. If you've already made the transition to O365, you know the benefits, you know about the online process. If you don't, sometimes this is a good way to lead it forward. So to break it down a little bit more, shows the numbers in terms of where things go for online. Just notice there's nothing in these top two categories. You break it down, you've got the operations, you've got the deployment services, and then the bulk of the cost comes directly from the services fee, the subscription license that you go through and do that. And so that's how those numbers are arrived at. When we go through and break down the cost on Project Online, you can see there's a lot more on the sheet. There's more to consider. There's more of this detail. And we're not factoring in the cost of money. In some organizations, and I've worked with plenty of banks and big institutions where they do care about the cost of money. And there is an MPV calculation that goes on. There is an internal rate of return calculation that's looked at and all kinds of other fancy ways of doing it. There's some great books on the topic. If you really care about that, you can dive deep, deep, deep into proving it. Now, I happen to think using Project Online and our portfolio management tool is a good way to go through and start putting in the numbers and looking at whether or not you should do a project online deployment or other tools as well. Put it into the IT mix, decide if you get the proper return on investment, and then choose to move forward if it's appropriate. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time in here on all of the different numbers because you'll all fall asleep if we do. But are there any questions or concerns? Yes, here in the back. You would go through and look at something like that. If you deployed Nintex or if you deployed one of the UMT products or anybody else's stuff, then yes, you would have to add that in as a software cost. Yes, no?
I think most organizations, at least in year one of the private server deployment on-prem, are going to incur consulting costs and learning costs.
There are definitely third-party costs.
The also those same goals to the project on, just a lot of third less.
Right. A third less services requirement is what I just heard up front here. Okay? It may be a third less. It may be 10% less. Right? It's changing, right?
Yeah, I was just going to jump in. I had a great discussion with someone at the Microsoft booth yesterday who his coworker told him, we're going to go to the project conference and buy every app to everything in Project Online. And we had a discussion. I said, so how successful are you with the features in Project Online? He says, we don't really use it very many of the features. I said, before you pick all the apps, find out what's already there and then figure out where there's a value add. And after about 15, 20 minutes, we decided the best value add for where they want to go would be that Nintex workflow. Right. So then they went over and looked at that. But
so always think about that. Yes, Tom. Correct. Definitely true. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Cindy's got some more content to put there. But I want to drive now and step away from the numbers for a second at a detail level and talk now instead about some of the business benefits and framing them up inside of those four buckets. And what I want you to take away from this next series of slides is not all the pictures and all the text, but the thinking around it that says I should look at a capability in a product, whether it's our product or somebody else's product, and I should map to that the impact that capability has to my business. By using this, do I save money? Do I accelerate my innovation? Do I reduce admin cost? And think about these things in those terms. Because when you do, you can start to go through and say, you know, by staying organized, I can reduce my administration time on projects by $100,000. Okay? These numbers are really sort of silly about the delivering projects successfully. And they kind of masked them because the company didn't want to show all of that, right? They believe that using the product is a strategic value and benefit to them. And so this particular customer says, yes, I'm going to save a lot of money by reducing my time and costs on projects. They put little numbers here in terms of successfully projects, and I'll talk a little bit more about that because when you talk to the analysts, Gartner, Forrester, you know, IDC, they will tell you this part right here is where you save the most money. The rest of this is sort of administrivia. This is the real thing. And by being able to deploy project and portfolio management, you change your business. Right? The ability to collaborate every day, reducing travel costs, the ability to decrease reporting time. This is huge. Right? Most organizations have somebody that does the reports every week. Right? Is it one person? Is it two, three, four? Does it take 1 hour? Does it take 10 hours? All right, if a burdened resource in your organization costs $75 to $200, do the math. How much did you just save by reducing that time, let alone the pain and suffering for that individual that has to do these crappy reports every week? Okay, they're out there in every company. Simplifying IT, reducing license costs, those were put up earlier, so we don't have a lot of that in here. Again, I'm going to come back and say that you have in IT an ability to reduce complexity, and just eliminate so much of that server churn, the hassles of getting things connected and all of that, because those burdens just simply go away. Now, in this particular case, they talked about reducing their administrative time by 25%, and they could put a real hard number on it. Right? Just do the math. It's not hard. Where the ability to go through and use the software anywhere, this is one of the values of online. I don't have to be connected in my corporate server. I can be, and I have pulled up and run Project Online from my Dell Venue 8, right? And I can go through and do those things. I don't need a special app. I don't need anything. I can just call the software up from here, right? And so you have the ability to access this anywhere. So how much time are you saving by doing that? In this case, one of the customers here talked about his tablet device and being able to go through and do that. The infrastructure cost, making it available on demand. The fact that I don't have to go back to the office to update my project plan because there's a schedule slip means I just saved all of that time. Okay? Pretty simple. It's not rocket science in any of this. Rapid project site creation, the ability to go through and quickly provision a new project, bring in all of the templates that come along with that and the documentation, the things that you care about, and being able to roll these out and do it right away. It's not, I have to go give this to someone on an administrative site, let them go through and set it up for me, and go from there.
Can I jump in on that? Mm. I actually have a customer right now. They have a supermarket-type business that has everything from auto parts to grocery to the clothing, and they had a full-time team. Every time they started a project, that would go through and make sites. They had about four people dedicated in their IT PMO, and they said, those four people were completely relieved when the site auto creation started working for them. That was a huge return for those guys.
Exactly. And those are real world examples. Everyone comes up with those as they move forward in these items. Here's an idea about effective status meetings. We all love those, right? I am truly waiting for the day when a PMO doesn't have to go in and do the weekly report, right, on the project status. Rather, the executives that they report to simply grab the tool and look online, and you have a stand-up if you need to. You don't have to go through that drudgery of a 1 to 3 hour project status meeting. Now, the executive admins. fair enough. We got to put the pretty picture. Well, so a good practice or a best practice, if you will, today, which is shortening meetings, is the ability to use the tool in the meeting, right? If I'm online, even on-prem, I can go through and call up Project Server and show everybody real-time, so I'm looking at one set of data. I don't have to produce a report in PowerPoint, call up an Excel worksheet just because. And exception reporting. Absolutely, there's always exception reporting. So the type of benefit here in terms of saving 25%, being able to quickly update our tasks. Some of you were in the application demo we did yesterday, and there's some really neat, fast ways to go through and update tasks on these mobile devices. So I no longer need to be connected to my PC to do this anymore. I can be sitting in an airport and go click, 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 I'm done, and you know, move your timesheet forward. And certainly online facilitates that quite a bit. So in delivering projects successfully, forget this number. If you were able to go through and reduce the cost overruns on your projects in your corporation for 1 year and save 10%, what would that equal? It's not $5,000. It's $500,000. It's $5 million. It's $100 million. It's a big deal. And that's all proven. You know, Gartner, Analyst, Forrester, IDC, the Standish Report, there's so many different tools. There's a big book from PMI that talks about ROI and the way that they go through and look at these items. The benefit here in terms of reducing low-value projects by 1% by using portfolio management. This is here an example of why you use PPM again. Now, I would contend that that number is too low. 1% is way too low. That's how this particular customer thought about it. They were being conservative. It's an automotive company, and they just weren't really being aggressive on it. But organizations today will find that's much different, and you simply eliminate those low-value projects. If you can use portfolio capability and show people that early instead of having them, you know, buried away somewhere, then you'll get more visibility and a turn on that. So the burn down charts here show some of the examples directly from the tool in terms of the cost and the cost overruns, how they go through and do it. Here's an example of the Forrester numbers and some of the things that they did, the different ways that they look about ROI, MPV, different ways of capturing that information. Project risk mitigation, the ability simply to get everybody involved. Again, this is also online and on-prem. You can use it either way. But think about how you would go through and use tools to reduce risk, and that thereby also creates a cost savings opportunity. Resource team allocation, Cindy talked about this. we find that when systems are easy to access, they're easy to get to, people will do it more often. If I have a problem logging in, if the system's slow or I'm having integration issues or things like that, the use of the tool drops dramatically. If I know I can simply go to an online service, it's right there no matter where I am, people are going to think about it more, they'll use it more, and we believe that the engagement is better, and that in turn changes the resource allocation story. Okay? So definitely something to think about there. Portfolio optimization. Now this is an area that I think is super interesting. Did any of you spend some time with Frank LaRocco yesterday in his talk about ConocoPhillips, right? Con Ed, not ConocoPhillips, that's the other one. So Con Ed. Frank, I've known Frank for, I think, 4 years, and the first time I heard him talk, I just was in awe. I couldn't make his presentation yesterday. But his story is amazing, because here's a case where, by using portfolio management, he's working in IT, one of those times when IT budget's getting slashed again, and he used the portfolio management capabilities of the software to go through and show management what was happening with their budget. Okay, if this is the money I get, here's the projects you'll get. This is what I can deliver in the year that you have. He used portfolio analytics, went through and changed it, reshuffled them, reprioritized a little bit, and said, if I had X amount more, then this is what I could deliver. Not only did he get X on the funding side, but he got Y on the funding side, because they went through and said, is this true? And he's proved the value over the years. It's like, we can do this through portfolio management. The fact that you have it online means you get more people participating, right? They're not logging into some big heavy server sort of thing. It's lightweight browser side, and now you can have the conversation about portfolio management. It's a great way to elevate careers. In his case, it definitely did. It's a great way to get more budget because he used the tool to prove the value. And this is a case where doing it again, even for looking at online, can be pretty impactful. Here's the numbers in terms of travel cost and decreasing reporting time. I think we've spent enough on that, but certainly this customer went through and drove down to the points around communication, how they use the tool to save that time, have real-time meetings instead of going through with the status reporting, means less travel, and he's pretty straightforward. Enhancing reporting and BI. Here's that executive play. If I could put it on one place, it's a URL that can be dropped in an email. They just simply click on it and they go to see the report. You just change the conversation. Even executives can pick items off a checkbox. This is true. And with some of the BI things that you saw on Monday, no doubt you've been seeing in the last few days of sessions, you get a sense of the richness of that story. Again, if you can produce these reports once and replicate so everybody gets to it, you don't have to reproduce these every week. Oh my gosh, you're just making your life a whole lot better running a PMO. And then they can go through and click the boxes. They can go through. The filtering tools have become so much better. With the ability to drill down on things interactively really changes the way people think about information. They get curious about data. One of the things that we've seen about online versus on-prem is because it's more readily available, because I can get it on more tools, curiosity goes up, the engagement goes up, the participation goes up. How many of you in here run or participate in a PMO? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay. Your dream is to increase the participation in the project management story, right? Outside of the PMO, right. You're a center of excellence. You're the people trying to get everybody engaged. Yeah, that's true. The PMO is usually preaching to the choir, right? So, cool. Well, let's move on from here. Simplify IT, we've talked a little bit about the licensing cost, so we won't really dive down into that more. But I think that you should look at it in this way for these key takeaways. Less hardware, less maintenance. Apply the resources to the high-value work and go through and focus on strategic value and project delivery, not spending time on systems. We're IT geeks. We love fun stuff. But you know what? Servers are so yesterday. We don't need to keep going down that path. Let's go through and think about change that we can put in place. Questions or comments on that? This is an example you might see, and don't look at the numbers too much. It's just sort of a representation that if you started an evaluation of a tool today for online, you might start, you know, this week, and maybe sometime in June or July or maybe later, you'll have the systems up, you'll play with it, you'll get some feedback, and then you'll be able to make some decisions around this. Cindy talked to it that with going to online, you might start in the same time frame, and you might be done a month or 2 months later in terms of your true assessment of value, in terms of your ideation around what should we do with the tool that we now have in place, and your sort of go-live dates for that first rollout and the first putting in place. I believe our project management consultants today will spend much more time helping organizations change and improve their business processes and less time spending deploying servers and rolling that out. So I think with that, we'll use one more example. Actually, we'll use two more examples. One is about a hospital and the type of numbers that they went through and found, where they also did the same kind of math. You know, here's another example where they looked at the value of doing the deployment all up. And then I have one more example which shows an example. I don't know why. It is. The models came from our field and a particular group of people that sort of engaged. Well, it was the Rust Belt where these came from. So. Correct. Correct. Right. It is an interesting one, the whole area of cost overruns and how you allocate it. Are you going to, you know, is it schedule slippage that caused the overrun, and was that because of a risk? And in Seattle, we're building this new big tunnel. Have you guys heard about this? Yeah, they've got this big giant monster drill bit that's going down underneath the city, underneath the streets while it's running and all that, kind of like the big dig they did in Boston. And this huge giant thing digging through the ground, and went and stopped. And no one knew why it stopped. And it just stopped. And it took them, was it 2 weeks to even figure out a way to get to the place where it stopped? Because this machine's so big, there's nothing in front of it. And they ended up drilling down from the top, down through the street to the bottom, and they found leftover piping and casing and things from a project that the engineering firm and the DOT should have known about, but they didn't, and so it totally stopped the project. And yeah. Absolutely true. Right. I agree with that. As we move on here, I wanted to show you an example where for this customer, it was not more cost effective for them to go to Project Online. Now, we haven't rerun the numbers with the new license model, but in this case, it was 29% more expensive. The reason was they had thousands of users that were sort of timesheet type users, and they were logging in, and they had to buy the full license to go through and do that. And so that's what brought the cost up higher. Now, it's still less expensive than doing other competitive deployments. This customer did deploy on-prem. That's how they chose to go through and do it. They did the statistics and said, yep, we'll go that way. Because for them, people use timesheets for all kinds of things, operational stuff, project work, non-project work, absolutely true. And we'll go through and talk about that. What I would like to do is stop for a quick second, ask if there's any other questions you want to do, and then turn it back over to Cindy to talk about what we're seeing in terms of proof of concepts and how people are using this quick time to value scenario. All right, it's yours.
Well, I want to talk about a couple customers. And this first customer I want to talk about, they're actually a state agency in the South, And I thought this was going to be my dream customer. They had a well-defined PMO. Everybody was PMP certified. They were Project Server 2010 users. They already validated. Let's go online, Project Online. They were on time for every meeting. They answered every question. Everything was going great. But one of the things I suggested to them is I said, you know, I really think you ought to test drive some of these things I'm configuring. And they said, no, we really trust you. We think everything's going to go the way that we expect. Also, I said, you know, how are you guys achieving success in Project 2010? They're like, oh, yeah, everything works great, getting all kinds of returns. One of the things that happened is right before I went on site to do the training to kind of deliver the final product, I said, okay, this is your last chance to do a dry run, test it with your own data. They said, nope, they're just going to just come on site. So I start doing training, and immediately they're test driving. That weekend, they asked me to reconfigure all kinds of stuff. Come back the next week. What actually ended up happening is they realized, they basically told me, we didn't know what we didn't know. We really should have test drove some of that data. A lot of reconfiguration. I had to go back and retrain them because what we initially trained them on wasn't the actual what they ended up wanting. They also found out that what they thought they knew in Server 2010, they weren't even using all the capabilities and weren't getting all the value. So it cost them more money to deploy. Now I have another customer. This company does commercial furnaces. I mean, like they'd fill this room. They're huge. Some of their projects are 1 year in length. They ran their business. They know it was project-based. They had these wonderful Excel spreadsheets. But every employee in their manufacturing group had to work 7 days a week. They were so overworked. They had so many customers. They were really struggling. One of the things that they said to me is they said, we know what we need. We just don't know what the tool can do to help us. We're flexible. We want to try along the way. Every time I helped them configure something, they gave an assignment to the guy that was head of operations to actually run the business the next week with that feature. He was extremely successful. They did it all with the concept of a proof of concept. They said, we're going to test it out. We're going to keep the old Excel system. We're going to run this new system. And let's look at the end of the week and see what's going on. Their general manager, I just touched base with them. This has been going on for about 2 years now. I said, tell me how it's going. He said he was able to directly evaluate the results. They were able to get 80% return in productivity because they knew who was doing what and were able to hire the right people. I was really happy to hear that. They saved, by doing the test as they go, $37,500. And also what ended up happening, that was their budget. They actually ended up with about $10,000 left over, and they said rather than throw that away, they moved it into support. So for them, he said, the best thing we did was try it. We knew what we needed. We just didn't know how the technology could help us. Now, I've got also another customer that I'm working with right now. This is an agency, another government agency in one of the southern states. And they were also Project Server 2010 on-prem. They were not using it at all for resource management. All they were using it for was just a kind of a checklist of all the projects, what's going on. And they had to make a decision. Decision option one was, let's have a developer build out what we need for resource management. The developer estimate, based on everything they needed, they had well-defined requirements, like 200 requirements in an Excel spreadsheet. I give them kudos for that. Their developer estimated 1 year to give them what they needed. But the developer, interestingly enough, said, did you know that Project Server has a lot of that in there? Have you considered going Project Online? They decided to do proof of concept with Project Server or Project Online and leave their old Project Server in existence, let it keep running the business, exactly what they did. These are the returns they got. They were able to show, and I was part of their executive presentation, that they could prove that the POC delivered 25% of the time with 15% of the cost versus having a developer run that whole year. And I said, okay, did you actually validate all these against those 200 items? They did, believe it or not, and their executive said, if you get 80% on those 200 items, it's success, 80% or greater. So they did that. So the proof of concept to them, in 3 months, they knew the answer that Project Online was going to deliver everything they needed with resource capability. They didn't have to wait a year, and that was a huge value add for those guys. Now, one thing I'm going to recommend to you guys is that you actually do a proof of concept. Ask the right questions, which you're going to get a questionnaire about that. Test drive it. And I'm going to give you an example from my own life where I actually did something wrong. So years ago, when I was looking at buying my next car, I went out and did the consumer reports, you know, talked to friends, and pretty much knew what I was going to buy before I got there. No, that's not it.
That's way too cool.
Yeah. But what I did when I got to the dealers, I said, okay, I'm going to test drive it, drive around the block, seems great, okay, I bought it. However, I did not test drive it on the highway. And I realized I actually didn't have enough pickup for me, but it was too late, I already bought it, because I didn't test drive it. So that's one of the things that proof of concept will tell you. Remember, you can have project online up and running in a day, you can test it with your data, you can see what it delivers and make changes to the configuration very easily. We do have some takeaways. These are all going to be available for you. For example, one of the takeaways are some of those questionnaires I mentioned. We also have access to Nucleus if you want to get those tools to rapidly check for total cost of ownership, questionnaires, and then option to sign up for a webinar. So let me stop. Do you have some other questions, thoughts, before I do a one wrap up?
I have struggled to get the assessment ROI stuff, but this is really helpful.
Yes, thank you.
In big corporations, I'm curious, for those of you that are in big companies, do you have a formal ROI process, or is it kind of per deal, per need, per assessment? Wet finger, yeah, do one of these in the wind. I'm surprised because, you know, I can think of some of the oil and gas companies I've worked with historically, and they literally will have just like a five-page spreadsheet that has to be filled out with all of the, it calculates net present value, goes through and looks in intimate detail on that. And I think companies are trying to get more agile in their assessments and speed the process up. That's good, right? I think that technology is not as expensive as it has been historically. But the takeaway that I would recommend is be thoughtful about this. If you're proactive in building your business case, if you think about ROI as a return on investment, because at an executive level, it's always a dollar choice. A dollar spent here means it's not a dollar spent there. And you may think what you're proposing is super simple. We're the PMO. We got to have project management software. That's just how it is. But they don't think about it that way. At the senior most level, they think, do I spend $500,000 on project management software, or do I spend $500,000 on this new R&D project that might come up with the next big drug or the next big thing? And so you're competing not just from a cost point of view, but you're competing on a business value. So be sure to cover both bases. Cover the cost, prove the point, and then make sure you talk about the added value on top of that. And that will certainly help a lot. Tom.
I just want to make a general comment for cloud. For organizations that already have the cloud, you probably, if you decide to go down that path of evaluating online, you're probably okay if your organization's already kind of taken that path. If your organization hasn't gone down the online path, before you invest a great deal of time in a proof of concept and evaluation, definitely take a little bit of time within the organization to make sure that your company's going to be okay with questions related to compliance and security, data sovereignty issues, things like that, because we have seen customers go down the path of you know, evaluating an online offering, spending a significant amount of time and investment internally, only to find out later on that from an organizational perspective, there's just no way that your legal department or compliance officer is going to allow the organization to go on that cloud path today. It is relatively inevitable. Mm-hmm.
Super valid point, super valid. And that's why in a couple of these cases, the client had gone down the POC path with online only to pull the trigger for on-prem, even though it was more expensive because of those type of considerations. They couldn't get through that last barrier. And I've seen it work both ways, where you sort of skirt around IT and just get it going, right? But in some organizations, that's not true. You can't. And so then just get out there early. Just tell them about it and bring them along as a partner and educate them and let them help you do that.
So can Project Online deliver ROI? Fact. So we really want you to get started. Obviously, you can connect with a partner to get that way, or you can use the stuff that was emailed to you as an attendee of the session, get started. But we want to thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you guys very much.